That's Stonehenge by the semi-fictional band Spinal Tap, and it played a key role in Wisconsin music history.
It inspired real-life music promoter and club owner Peter Jest of Milwaukee in one of the biggest decisions of his decades-long career.
Peter's been a music promoter in the Milwaukee area and around Wisconsin for over 40 years. He owns the live music venue Shank Hall on the city's east side.
His lifetime of behind-the-scenes stories is documented in a new biography he co-wrote with Amy Waldman.
The book is called We Had Fun and Nobody Died, Adventures of a Milwaukee Music Promoter. Peter, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Peter, sometimes I think people go into, you know, running a club, being a promoter or whatever, because they want to live the rock and roll lifestyle and hobnob with musicians. Reading this book, I get the feeling like you went into live music because you really love live music. Can you talk about just your appreciation for seeing musicians play live?
Yeah, I just got the bug when I was in high school, actually maybe eighth grade, of really enjoying music. And the first concert I went to was Bob Seger. And I thought, wow, this is really great. I want to somehow be involved in this industry. And that's what happened.
Now, what were some of your first steps in getting involved in booking shows, bringing acts into Milwaukee?
Well, I worked for a promoter, Steve Mandelman, as like a runner for a couple months, and they went out of business. And then I was at UWM and thought this would be a great place for concerts. And they didn't want to do national bands at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. So I was so frustrated, I started my own student group called the Alternative Concert Group and started bringing in acts then.
And you stayed as a student sort of for a long time. You would audit a bowling class or something like that just to keep your student status, right? So you could keep booking shows?
Yeah, technically. I actually did find out, and I'm actually, because I went to UWM, I'm actually an alumni, but I went there for 7 years and had 24 credits with a 1.7 grade point, flunking economics and other classes. But I went to bowling and weather maps and underground caves. That's just to stay in school to promote concerts.
Now, you tried another part of the music business with local legends, the Violent Femmes. You went on tour with them. You were their tour staff for a while. Talk about that experience and why that wasn't the road you wanted to pursue.
Well, it was just I had promoted them a couple times, and the Violent Femmes liked to have Milwaukee people on the road with them back in the mid-'80s or early 80s. The sound man, the light man, the road crew, and they liked me and said, let's give them a chance because our normal tour manager couldn't do it. And for 2 months, I was on the road with them, and I had never been to New York or Los Angeles or anywhere, and it was quite the experience. But I just sort of found out I'm somewhere of a homebody and like to be at home and promote concerts, locally.
You also try to get a lot of, you know, these aren't at the top of the charts type bands, or at least not yet. What were some of the ones that you hit on and got into a mid-sized venue before they broke and got really big?
Oh, for Shank Hall, I mean, I had Alanis Morissette, No Doubt, Sarah McLachlan, Jewel, Goo Goo Dolls, Widespread Panic. I'll play Shank Hall on the first time. And then I did the first three dates in Milwaukee, Ames, Iowa, and Madison of Pearl Jam, the Smashing Pumpkins, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers, which is an incredible package. I mean, that's like fills a stadium these days. That was back in like 91 or 92.
We are talking a longtime Milwaukee music promoter, Peter Jest, owner and founder of Shank Hall in Milwaukee. New book, co-written by him, We Had Fun and Nobody Died. Peter, let's talk about Shank Hall, because this is a key point in your career. You've been promoting bands, bringing bands into Milwaukee and elsewhere in Wisconsin, a lot of work there. What made you take that step to say, I'm going to open this venue, not arena size, but a good size venue for bands coming through town?
Well, I knew eventually UWM would find some way to kick me out with my academic record because what I was doing. And it needed a Milwaukee needed a club to help develop acts into bigger acts or acts that were big and on the way down or just some acts that play 100 to 300 seats rooms. And the room used to be Teddy's, which was a famous music club in the in the 70s in Milwaukee, and then became a comedy club. And they went out of business New Year's Eve of 88. And I thought, you know, that's a perfect spot to have a base and build acts to Milwaukee. And hopefully they'll stay with me, you know, when they get bigger. But unfortunately, as soon as I did that, Live Nation came around, and no matter who some people worked with, they paid all the money to get all the big acts later on. But it still was, you know, it's still been a great 35 years, and a lot of bands really enjoy playing there, and fans. So it's really gone well.
Let's talk about the name of Shag Hall. There's a story behind it that I didn't know until I read the book. It's a case of life imitating art. Where did you get the name?
Oh, yeah, we took it from the movie Spinal Tap. When they played they played like five fictional cities, like Fidelity Hall in Philadelphia. But they had a Milwaukee, it was called Shag Hall, Milwaukee. And I told my friend, gee, if I ever open a music club, I got to call it Shag Hall, because all the musicians will get it. It's like an in-joke. And it really worked really well. In fact, the guys really got a kick that I took a five-second bit out of their movie and you know, named a club after it. Michael McKean, if you look at the book, does a blurb on the back. He took time to read it and really loved the story and got a kick that that I named it Shag Hall.
You talk in the book about relations you formed with some performers who you worked with over the years. And actually one I saw in Madison, I assume it's a show that you booked, Arlo Guthrie. It was an amazing show, and you almost became an honorary Guthrie, it sounds like. Can you talk about that relationship over the years?
Yeah, Arlo was very special. In fact, me and my wife were going to New Hampshire for a relative's graduation. And I said, Arlo, do you mind if we stop by and say hello? He said, not only that, come by and spend the night. So we just visited Arlo a couple months ago, because since he retired from touring, I had to go visit him since he doesn't come this way. But it started out just doing a few shows and then taking him to all these cities across Wisconsin, like Oshkosh, Stevens Point, Wausau, Door County, La Crosse, Eau Claire, Madison. And, you know, just being with him a while, we got along. His kids were there, which were about my age. And, yeah, we just became friends and got along and socialized after the shows. And it's a very special thing. And in the book, it says he thanked me on stage. And Sarah Lee Guthrie, his daughter, is next to me. And I looked really surprised. And she goes, what are you surprised for? You're like family to us. You're like a Guthrie. And that really stuck with me. And it was a very special moment.
Let's talk about the industry today. And you touched on this. Live Nation, Ticketmaster, if they're not monopolies, they're, you know, on the way. How has that changed, you know, people's access to see live shows in Wisconsin?
Yeah, it's really has. I mean, there used to be personal relationships with acts. You'd have promoters that, you know, would have a territory, and the acts would come, and that'd be your act. I mean, like Arlo Guthrie or John Prine. These days, you know, Live Nation just sort of bought all the regional promoters. Then they merged with Ticketmaster. And so they really have almost a monopoly on the business, and especially on big acts. And they can pay acts so much money, you know, and they don't really care about making money on the show, because they have a, you know, $40 service charge, $30 parking, $20 beer. They get enough people. That's where they make their money. And it's really just become a suit and tie corporate business for Live Nation and, you know, for all these acts. It's just about money and making money for the stockholders. So it's taken a lot of the entrepreneurship, you know, that started in the late 60s and the 70s, you know, out of the business.
Now, people are listening around the state. Can you leave us with some encouragement, Peter, to go check out some live music, maybe at that little club, you know, downtown or whatever, wherever they might be?
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people like to see music in the summer because, you know, we only can be out of our houses for 3 months in Wisconsin, but there is a lot of nice places indoors during the fall, winter, and spring. Plus, like I said, a lot of nice theaters all over the state that do, not that I only do shows at, but other people do, and the venues do a lot of shows at a lot of, just go out and support them, because that's how to keep live music and entertainment going.
Peter, thanks a lot for sharing your story with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
That's Peter Jest, Milwaukee music promoter who owns the music venue Shank Hall. He was with us to share stories from the new biography. He co-wrote it with Amy Waldman. It's called We Had Fun and Nobody Died, Adventures of a Milwaukee Music Promoter. If you have a favorite local music venue that you like to go to or maybe play at if you're a musician yourself, tell us about it. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.